Hi, this is episode 7 of the Coronavirus Daily, and I am Ajay Punia. Ever heard about the boy who lived in a bubble, who moved a world he couldn't touch? David Weta was born in 1971 with severe combined immunodeficiency, or SCID, that actually occurs in about 1 out of 100,000 births. From birth, he had no functioning immune system. Any stray germ he picked up, be it from touching another person or breathing normal air, could have been lethal. When he was 2 weeks old, he was placed in a sterilized bubble and lived till the age of 12 in that bubble. Barring the SCID, many of us have been feeling like the boy in the bubble. Being self-quarantined, keeping our surroundings clean and sterile, while ensuring interaction with others occurs cautiously with appropriate protection. David may have not made it to the age of 12 without the existence of the bubble and the love and care from his loved ones and doctors outside the bubble. Drawing inspiration from David, using this time in loving ourselves and taking care of our loved ones from a distance will ensure we make it to the other side. The date today is 31st March. Tuesday? Doesn't even matter anymore. First, the uncertain. Originally, it was believed that it was the Rhinolophus bats with the pangolin as intermediate hosts that were the culprits for unleashing this coronavirus that has wreaked havoc amongst Homo sapiens. However, genomic comparisons suggest that the SARS-CoV-2 virus is the result of a recombination between two different viruses, meaning the exact origin of the virus is still unclear. Bats are known to be a reservoir of the SARS-CoV and the SARS-CoV-2 viruses, but they have a very strong immune system that fights against this viral proliferation. Recent genomic comparisons suggest that the SARS-CoV-2 virus is the result of a recombination between two different viruses, one close to the Rhinolophus bat and the other closer to the pangolin virus. And this recombination results in a new virus capable of infecting a new host species. Which begs a couple of annoying questions. In which organism did this recombination occur? And above all, under what conditions did this recombination take place? Back to square one, aren't we? Now for some the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good. The mass exodus that we've been seeing over the last week was a result of an equally massive planning blunder on the part of the government. As I speak, arrows of blame are flying in all directions. But I'm not a doomsayer, and thus this features in the good section. It is time now to look for what can we do. Here's a set of steps that noble couple Abhijit Banerjee and Esther Duflo think we can use to mend our ways from here. First, educate people to make sure that every household has at least one person who knows the key symptoms of the disease. Second, the lockdown began before these migrants had the disease. Thus, it is likely no one has immunity. So spread the awareness that some people will get infected. We must avoid ostracism, shame, and concealment. Thirdly, offer multiple ways to report: a hotline, the A&M, the ASHA, etc. Fourth, empower rural health practitioners with training and reporting cases to higher authorities. Fifth, collate these reports urgently so that trends can be identified for tracing and isolation. Sixth, ensure access to necessary equipment. Seventh, the most important one, be bold and quick with social transfer schemes. The shock and awe strategy created a huge trust deficit. Regaining it ASAP is desperately needed. We can't win this battle without cooperation of the public. And finally, the war effort continues till there is a vaccine. The bad. Last week, I spoke of how authoritarian leaders can use this moment of crisis to give themselves unlimited powers. How naive of me. A real authoritarian will not only give himself unlimited powers, but also for unlimited time. Hungarian parliament passed a bill yesterday giving the Prime Minister Viktor Orban unlimited power, rule by decree, no elections, parliament suspended, spreading fake news gets 5 years in prison, and leaving quarantine 8 years in prison. Although Orban did say he will use these powers proportionately and rationally, but looks like Hungarian democracy is now itself in quarantine. After this, there have been cries to remove Hungary from the European Union, but as individual European countries shut their borders in the pandemic, the bigger question is, will the EU survive COVID-19? And now, the ugly. If your anxiety triggered listening to the bad, I would request you to avoid listening anymore. Okay, so now that you're still here. Post the SARS epidemic of 2002, China built a system of infectious disease reporting that hospitals could use to notify the authorities. It was everything you can expect it to be: world-class, fast, thorough, and immune from data fudging. Except, it did not take into account bureaucracy. You see, as long as there will be an aversion to the guy who brings the bad news, information will be hidden and response will be poorly handled. In the case of coronavirus, not just the world, but even Beijing's health officials learned about the outbreak not from this robust system, but from 2 documents leaked online. But that's still not the end. When Beijing got involved, the criteria they set for reporting of cases was made narrower, further delaying the realization that the virus was now among humans. So next time, when you hear or see the words acute gastroenteritis, it may be a cover for cholera, or in case of COVID-19, acute pneumonia. History tells us that post any disaster, some relief can be expected from some good Samaritans abroad. China, that has raised its propaganda warfare to top gear amidst this, recently sent 150,000 portable quick coronavirus test kits to Czech Republic. Unfortunately, it was reported about 80% were faulty, as they generated a high error rate. Although their deputy PM did downplay the discovery, saying wrong methodology was used or they can be used when the disease has been around for a while. While the kits sent to Spain were better, but they were reported with only 30% success rate. And now China is donating medical supplies to Canada. Good luck. The response is awaited. And if China wasn't enough, there's Russia. Russia pitched in to help Italy with 100 experts and medical supplies. Great. But of those supplies, Italy said 80% were completely useless or of little use to Italy. Also, those experts are not really experts of medicine, but were senior biological, chemical, and nuclear officers. Plus, they've stationed themselves close to a US airbase in Italy. The question, are they there to help Italy or gather intelligence? Before I go, the funnies. Guernsey is a small island in the English Channel, which, like many parts of the world, is under lockdown. On Sunday, it was scheduled to host a marathon that was obviously postponed due to the outbreak. But that did not deter a 57-year-old runner called Graham Murfield to run the marathon on Sunday. He did not, however, break no rules of the lockdown. But he still managed to finish the marathon in 4 hours and 21 minutes. Funnily enough, his track wasn't the actual race route, but his own garden. He ran 130 laps of the garden and finished the race by breaking a toilet roll finishing tape. Goodbye, wash your hands, and see you tomorrow.